meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Take advantage of the... Drew?
Yeah.
Where are you, buddy? Cleveland?
Cleveland, buddy.
Cleveland. Nice. You know what I was thinking about me?
You thinking about you? Wait a minute. I'm bowled over. You're thinking about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I'm shocked.
I was thinking about what a prick I am because...
That's good.
I was thinking, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, when people say, I live over by the beach, and they point the wrong way.
Yeah, yes.
They're pointing toward the airport or they're pointing toward the valley.
Yeah.
And I realize I almost always will point it out to them and go, you're pointing toward Pasadena, and you said you live by the beach, and they always get a little miffed by it because they don't like to be corrected.
Yeah.
And I think they know where they live, and it's okay that they're pointing a different direction, but I always have to say something.
Yeah.
You think that makes me a bad guy?
Well, it's the same thing that makes you grab my hand if I'm so much as, like, flipping a piece of paper or sort of folding it around in my hand.
Right.
That's not okay to you.
You like to distract me while I'm working.
No.
Yes.
Just that everything must be just so in your world.
Drew likes to...
If somebody points the wrong direction, that's not okay. If somebody's fidgety with their hands, that's not okay.
But, Drew, you like to... You intentionally laugh with me by monkeying with things over your side of
Adam,
the desk.
Adam, you should see what I do when I'm away. That is how... That's sort of a self-soothing thing I do. That's something I do constantly.
How much soothing do you need? You're just sitting here slugging coffee and talking to screwed-up teenagers.
Hey, it has nothing to do with you. This is me and my behavior. I got to call your therapist. I swear to God. I've got so many things to tell this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what the hell's the matter with him that he doesn't pick up on some of these things?
He never pointed the wrong direction, so I never said anything to him.
God.
All right. All right, Drew. They were good times.
Good times, yeah, good times.
So what are you doing? Where are you in Cleveland? You at the hotel?
No, I'm at a radio station.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
WQAL, yeah.
You didn't take my Zephyr with you?
I did, but I didn't offer to come to a radio station tonight, so I'm doing that.
Why?
Because I wanted to.
Okay, I'll get the real story during the commercial.
No, I just, because I don't want to go through the hassle.
My equipment was stolen?
No, your equipment is perfect. Don't worry, it's fine. In fact, I'm buying you a carrying case for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where's my equipment? Back at the room?
Yeah.
Who's watching it?
Nobody. I posted two security guards in my room.
All right. $4,700. Are you ready to rock here, Drew? Yeah?
No.
You got your computer with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's bring up some calls.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, good times. Ashley.
Ooh. Hey, guys.
You're 18. What's up?
I'm going to get a tattoo soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to go in there while I'm messed up, like drunk.
Sure.
But I've heard that you bleed a lot and it can have weird side effects or something if you go do that. Is that true?
What's the tat that you want to get?
Well, I want to get my name in Old English.
That is so classy, baby. It is so hot. Oh,
where are you
going to
put it?
I'm going to put it on the bottom of my back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I look at that as the gateway to your crack, not the bottom of your back, by the way.
Oh, my God.
And how big are the letters going to be?
Like an inch and a half tall.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, one of those big cholo-style tats.
Right.
And they do it in sort of the half, sort of the arc shape.
The arc shape?
Arc meaning?
Half moon-like, yeah.
No, I want to get it straight across.
Straight across?
Yeah.
And if you're going for inch and a half letters, I think you got to get a little arc in that.
Mm, I'll think about it.
Yeah, please do. I mean, it's Ashley, right?
Right.
Yeah, the H should be a little bit higher up
like
than
at the top of everything.
Yeah, than the A and the Y. Well,
how about separated?
But this is nice because the strange guy who's working you from the backside on any given night can always know your name.
Right.
Yeah, that's classy. And what are you running with some gang or something?
No.
You're not even Mexican, are you?
No.
Listen, you can't get Old English lettering put on yourself if you're not Mexican. You can't even drink Old English. What are you, high? You're white? You're getting Old English lettering put on your ass?
What do you suggest?
I suggest you hold off. Why are you doing this?
I just thought it would look good.
All right. You think that's going to be more attractive to guys?
I don't really care if guys like it.
Yeah. You're doing it for you, right, baby?
Right.
Right. That's why you're putting it on your back so you can't see it? Yeah, all right, idiots.
What is that all about?
Oh, who cares? Just go get your tats, everybody.
But don't get loaded.
I'll get loaded. Well, if you're
you do?
Why
do
not?
Get loaded?
Ironically, get loaded on Old English. Okay. Drew?
You need to pull up this next one.
Sounds like you're calling from an airplane.
Really?
It doesn't sound bad. It's just a little, there's a little.
Yeah, there's a kind of
But you know what? It sounds like a private jet.
Oh, that's good. Well, just imagine me there.
Yeah, but you know what? It's hurt my head a little bit. Like, my ears are getting plugged up now because I think we're ascending.
Well, as you've decided, you proclaimed, I'm really interested in distracting you.
Yeah.
So instead of being able to be there and roll things in my hand,
that's
I'm
right.
going to send some sound down the line
for
you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right?
Oh,
good
my
times.
God, I'm getting air sick. Okay, where do you want to go, Drew?
I'm a computer disconnected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you said you got to pull this one up, I thought it was like, this call is so nasty, so dirty. Even Dr. Drew, a seasoned medical veteran. What?
Can you push that button?
Jason?
Yes.
You're 14?
Yep.
You're the kid who called us from Irvine a few weeks back.
Exactly.
You cut your finger making a rabbit trap.
Exactly.
It was Irvine via Georgia or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got transplanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're calling us back now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you... Why?
Because, I hear Dr. Drew and you, like, always talking about all these symptoms of, like, alcoholic families with the alcohol gene and stuff.
Good times, you know?
Yeah. It seems like a lot of what you're describing is in my family.
Okay.
And I was wondering, like, how likely it is that I would actually have that gene.
Where's my bourbon?
Well, just given Jason's proclivities activity, such as hunting rabbit and coon.
Did he say coon or he just hunting rabbit? Coon. Well,
You get a little feel of that with Jason, don't you? But it's about 50%, though. So if we didn't know you, we'd say it's 50-50. That you might inherit it. Just because you have the gene, though, doesn't mean you have to get the disease.
50-50, Jason. It's almost half.
Well, like, another factor is I'm like one-third, I think, like Native American.
No.
Cherokee?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good burden genetically. In fact, in my experience, when I see family systems where it's not sort of sorting out and kind of 50-50, my next question is, do you have any Cherokee history?
Cherokee more than other tribes.
Well, in my experience, I've never seen documentation of that. There's certainly North American Indians generally seem to have a very high burden for that gene. But in my experience, when I see it across family systems, like everybody's got it, Cherokee.
Really? Yeah. Highest out of all the folks.
In my experience, yeah.
With the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really beats the, Jews don't have that, the blacks,
no,
the Asians, hands down, Mexicans. No?
Mexicans have a little problem with it.
Yeah, yeah, but you know the thing with the Mexicans? No one knows. Uh-huh. You can't tell. You don't know if the guy's napping or just drunk and passed out. You don't know what's going on with them. David?
Hello?
Don't speak that language. No one knows. You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, David Mancini here.
Stop.
Why?
He gave us a full name. Why would he do that?
I don't
know. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he's pretending to be somebody else.
All right. Let's see. Would it be predatory to go after a 15 or 16-year-old? It is it's kind of one of those questions that sounds like it might give... The guy bad reputation, right?
Yeah, it's a non-question anyway. I mean, of course.
Would it be predatory to go after a 15 or 16-year-old? Well, no, it's not. It's not a horrible question. I mean,
we
18-year-olds that are interested in 16 and 15-year-olds.
Right.
What do you say to that? What do you say to the other ones?
Yeah, Be careful.
Yes? Be
Let's
careful.
Talk to April first.
All right.
April.
Hi.
You're 31.
Hey. Yes.
What's up?
I'm 31, and I'm considering getting pregnant. My boyfriend and I have been together over 12 years now.
Why aren't you married to him after 12 years? It's like, isn't there some sort of common law that makes you married now?
Not in California. California is community property state.
Mm. Oh boy. Well, no common law out here, huh?
No, community
Good
property.
Good times. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm currently taking oral contraceptives, and I'm wondering about the chances of getting pregnant. And the longer I wait, so if I'm waiting until, say, I turn 35 before we start trying,
there's a step down around 35, and there's a huge step down at 40. It starts dropping after about 28 or so, and right now is you really want to get going in your early 30s. That's when it's pretty easy to get pregnant, and if there are issues, they usually can be overcome with fertility treatment. It's as you get in the late 30s and early 40s, then it becomes a serious problem.
Okay.
Yeah, my sister's pregnant. She's 39.
Mm, good. Last time, right?
Huh?
Enough, right?
I guess so. I mean, that's 39. She's moving along okay.
Yeah.
Seems to be, they check you a lot. Seems to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, April. Hey, good times, all right?
Thank you.
Hey, common law means you're the same as married, essentially, in terms of the laws and the government and everything, and community property means what?
Well, in where there are states in the union that are community property states, meaning in divorce cases where things get split 50-50, those states don't allow common law marriages. You have to be married in order to have your living together situation.
I know, but what does community property mean? How does that work?
I'll
She doesn't know.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what the difference between common law and community property was, and she said in states that have community property, they don't have common law. But
hey, but Adam,
I want to know.
Yeah.
No, is it
good times, right?
No, if you're with common law, I mean community property just means you're with someone for 20 years, you never get married, and it's just like you broke up with your girlfriend of 2 months.
I think that's right. This is Karen, 16.
But wait a minute. You can get sued for palimony and stuff out here, can't you?
You have a fiduciary. Yeah.
It's got to be a little something.
Palimony.
Huh?
Yeah, you have a child obligation as a father that you may not have as a boyfriend.
No, I'm not saying alimony. I'm saying palimony.
That's what I said. You have obligations as a father that you might not have as a boyfriend.
No, but you can get sued for palimony with no kids.
What?
I think you can. I think if you're in California and you're some rich celebrity guy and you live with your young girlfriend for 15 years and you never get married and then you dump her, she can sue you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, remember the whole Lee Marvin thing?
Yeah, I do remember something about that.
All right,
Karen.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm calling my boyfriend, okay? We've been together for almost a year, and his best friend is a female. And about a year and a half ago to almost 2 years, he had slept with her maybe twice.
What?
I know for a fact that he slept with her once.
How long have you been with your boyfriend? Wait. How long have you been with your boyfriend?
For almost a year now. It'll
be
a year in
December. And during that relationship you've had with him, he has slept with his best girlfriend?
No. About a year before, we actually committed ourselves to each other.
Ooh. Well, what did that entail?
Okay, well, they're best friends now, and...
No, tell me about when you committed yourself. What happened
then? So it's a bad sign.
Yeah.
It's like rededicating yourself to something.
How did that go?
You're
saying, enough of that sleeping around, I just want you to date me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, good times. Oh, no.
All right.
Yeah? My spidey sense is up on this guy.
Mm-hmm. I feel really strong for him, okay? This is the first time I've ever fallen in love with somebody.
Yeah, and what's not to love? I mean, he sleeps with everybody.
But true, at 16, you've been around this big old world quite a few times.
Yeah, of course.
You know when you're in love.
Yeah, of course.
So go ahead.
Well, anyway, I kind of think that she has feelings still for him, considering the fact that they go to concerts all the time together, and sometimes I can't go. But she always buys him a ticket.
When friendships develop between young males and females, it's often because somebody's very interested and someone just isn't, doesn't reciprocate. That sounds like what's happening. Your boyfriend's sort of not reciprocating, but he likes the attention. He likes her. And, you know, it's sort of a slippery slope, to be honest. What's more concerning is that it's painful to you, and he pays no mind to that. That's really very... Whenever people don't pay attention to other people's feelings, that's a red flag.
Well, didn't Karen start the call by saying that he'd screwed around?
Yes.
With her or with somebody else?
Slept with her, and then when they committed to each other, she insisted upon it because he was getting around.
But Drew, I know you don't like this guy, but even so, you're being a little bit casual about the fact that they're going out together after they've been caught sleeping together.
I'm not being casual. I'm saying it's completely out of line.
I know, but you're acting as if nothing is going on.
I don't know whether something's going on or not.
But you're saying sometimes when two people go out and at that age as friends, usually one person likes the other person. Yeah, they've been sleeping together.
Yeah. Yeah, but she still really likes him. She still wants to stay with him. He's not reciprocating, but...
How do we know he's not reciprocating?
He may be, and if the mood strikes him, he could, even if he wasn't. But the point is, the real big issue is that he's not responding to his girlfriend.
Well, here's the issue. We've had this happen a few times, Drew. Well, yes.
Oh.
Well, I'll rush their piece, but here's what I'm saying. If you get popped for cheating with somebody more than once or even once, and then a couple months later you make a real strong argument about why you need to go out with that person again and do activities with this person, you're basically saying to your mate, hey, screw you. Who cares about you?
Yeah,
I got balls the size of Wyoming.
Yes.
This is
correct.
This is like your boss saying... It's like your boss yelling at you, saying you're this close, I'm going to fire you if you step out of line again, and you're just showing up an hour late drunk the next day and walking into his office going, yeah, I had a few beers, what's it to you? You know what you're saying? I don't care about this job. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes.
And that's what this guy's saying to Karen, yes?
Yes.
Karen?
Absolutely.
Considering that he's been living here with me and my father and...
No.
Where's your mom?
My mom lives in Illinois.
Why is he living with you?
Because the only other place would be in Joliet.
Oh, my God.
Joliet
prison.
The prison or Joliet the city?
Oh, in Illinois. I'm sorry. It's about an hour away from here.
In the prison or in the city?
The city.
Huh?
Yeah, in the city.
Okay. It's so difficult for everybody on this show.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't... All right, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So you thought you were talking about the prison?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just wondering if there were any...
Hey, Karen, this guy's homeless. He's basically homeless.
Oh, not really. I mean, he has family.
Okay. Why is he staying with them? That was our question.
They're an hour away in Joliet.
Because if he did, then we wouldn't see each other, but only on weekends.
Okay. Look.
How old is he?
19.
Oh, you're 16. He's living with you. How long ago did he screw around with this girl?
Almost 2 years ago.
As far as she knows.
Right. And you guys have been together for how long?
Almost a year.
Do you see why I don't like this guy?
Well, wait a minute.
Sociopath.
Well, hold on a second. How's he screwing around with her on her if it was 2 years ago and they've been together for a year?
No. What do you mean?
Well, I thought he screwed around on her while they were together.
He was screwing around with other people then.
No, never while he was with me.
I understand, but up until the time that you committed, he was screwing around with lots of people. Right?
Yes.
Okay, that was when you were with him.
I don't know, I don't care. Look, I wonder about this chick's dad.
With the mom, we don't get the story on her. I mean, you don't live with the mom? Come on. It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, you know, Joliet is where Jake Blues Brothers.
That's where he's from?
Well, that's where he was incarcerated.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good times. Hey, wait. I'm not done with you, Karen.
No, yes. Yeah, I'm done.
Don't you want to know about the mom, what happened with her?
You know you're going to get some thing where we didn't get along or she was jealous or some nonsense.
No. It's going to be something awful.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Real fast. Karen?
Yeah.
Why aren't you living with your mom?
My mom, she's considered an unfit mother because of the fact that she didn't have a job when my parents were divorced.
And she was a drug addict.
Yeah.
Karen, what planet are you living on? You're like in Karen's land, where everything is a rationalization and miles from reality.
All right,
tell me, I don't like it, so.
Well, I know, but you got to get into the reality.
Yeah, until you accept
you out of
reality.
Trouble.
Until you acknowledge reality, you're going to be in all kinds of trouble here, all kinds of pain.
Well,
the guy is a sociopath. He's a homeless person who's living with her, taking advantage of her.
Yeah. And listen, everyone, don't tell us answers that don't make sense. She was an unfit mother because she didn't have a job when they got divorced.
Yeah, who do they think they're talking to?
What percentage of women who are married are working when a divorce goes down? Less than 50%? I mean, Drew, if you got divorced tomorrow, would your wife have a job?
No, she'd be unfit.
She'd be unfit. That's right.
That is
just happens to be a coincidence in the Corolla situation, actually.
I just hate BS so much.
I know, but I told you she was going to give you some BS if you got back to her, but Drew's too good. Drew went right for the drugs. Right. Joel?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah, man.
What's up, man?
I heard you talking to that girl right now. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She wants to get old English on her.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on about that she can't get it because then it'll be foolish of her?
Be foolish,
it's only for Mexicans?
Yes.
Maybe she's Mexican.
Why is it foolish? If she wants to do that, let her do that.
I know, but I'm saying it always looks bad when one culture tries to adopt the other culture, you know, like when the white guys turn into Uyghurs, you know. Always looks bad.
Why does it look bad, though? I mean,
because the old English
giving you a bad name?
That is the script of the Chicano. You understand? That is the trademark of the Hispanic, the old English. And so when the white guy tries to go in for that, it makes him look like a poser.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
But why are you, you know, sometimes, you know, we hear this at work all the time. I'm always hearing them. There's always a little suggestion about Mexicans. Do you have something against Mexicans or?
I just don't like Mexico, but I love Mexicans.
You don't like
no.
Mexico? Why, you been down there?
Let me tell you this. I've been to Mexico. Well, first off, Joel, I work construction for 13 years, so
right.
I live with Mexicans my whole life. I did was work with these guys. And a lot of people don't know this from a racial standpoint. Blacks don't work construction.
Well, why don't you call it Old Spanish instead of Old English?
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Good
Joel's
point.
Got something. And, you know, number two, I've been to Tijuana more times than I can count and slept on the beach of Baja many times.
Right.
I love that beautiful, lawless community known as Mexico where you can buy fireworks and tequila and drive down on a dirt road going into Baja and light firecrackers from a Tipperillo cigar and throw them at the truck behind you while you're waving around a bottle of booze.
Yeah, well, that's what you guys go down there to do, just trash your place down.
Oh, no. I always clean up after myself before I come back, except for the time I threw up in that ice maker at Margarita's Village out there on Revolution Street.
And who does your lawn in the mornings? Mexicans out there doing it also?
Let me see. I keep the Mexican community fairly busy. But like I said, I'm a friend.
They built your houses.
I'm a friend of the tan-skinned man because.
So then you wouldn't be mad if they hold you down and tattoo an old English, our old English name on your butt.
Oh please, Joel. So we're having a civil conversation. Yeah. And you had to go there.
No, but you know.
No, I make fun of the Mexicans, but to me it's they're like brothers to me. That's why I can make fun of them.
You know,
you make fun of
on.
But Joel, he makes fun of everybody.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, sometimes he does, you know.
Oh.
Why is it? I just wanted to know why it's bad to have old English letters on, you know.
This is not making fun of Mexicans.
Well, yeah,
this
you
is,
know,
this
but
is
I mean,
showing reverence toward the Mexican man, saying this is his mark. Do you understand? Like, I don't like seeing white guys dress in black and talk in black. I don't like the, you know, I don't like them wearing the Kango hat and the do-rag. I don't like the white guys getting the old English. I don't like that. I want the cultures to have their own identity. You know that's the way I feel, Drew.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We'll take ourselves a little break. Drew is in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Drew?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, sounded much better last night on my Zephyr than you do at the radio station.
All right.
All right, there's that little, hum in the background.
Yeah,
we'll work on it. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me say this, Drew.
Yeah?
Drew's in Cleveland.
Right. Home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How about that?
Yep. Yep, up around, I'd say by the sound of it, you're about 36,000 feet right now, probably just
in a private jet, yeah, jet stream.
Passing,
You know, I've just, I interviewed a half dozen people, the people in the studio there you're looking at, people that are listening to the show over here in Cleveland. No one but you can hear this hum, so turn your headphones down a bit. And you always complain about commenting or conducting business that people, other people don't hear. No one else hears this except you.
All right, let's be quiet and see if anyone else hears that hum, all right?
And go.
No, okay, let's seriously try it. Are you ready? Go. Mm-hmm. No, only I can hear that.
Yeah.
It just... It sounds like you're in the basement of a building where there's, you know, like a industrial building.
If you want to make the point that you have a great piece of equipment, that point has been made.
That's not my point, but it is ironic that you sounded better yesterday calling from the hotel than you do from the radio station. Let me say this, Drew. Next week, you know who's going to be in this studio?
No.
Let's see. Everclear's going to be here.
Excellent.
Edema's going to be here.
Good.
Snoop Dogg's going to be here.
Oh, that's right. It's the inland, what is the smokeout week. Yeah.
I think Cypress Hill is going to be here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm getting high just thinking about those, seeing those guys.
A lot of THC floating through this, studio. Yep, that's it. Oh, Tommy Chong's going to be here, too.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Like he didn't need any more weed. All right, so now let's get to Sarah, who's 23. Sarah?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, what's up? I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I have sex with my boyfriend, I get really nauseous, like to the point where I have to tell him not to touch me because I think I'm just going to hurl.
Here's the beauty of guys, though. He keeps going, right?
No, he doesn't.
He stops.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's a keeper.
Or sometimes it's after, like...
He really stops when you tell him you're going
to
throw up.
Well, here's what happens. She runs to the bathroom, bends over the toilet, and he gets her from behind.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how guys work.
Yep, that's it. There you go. Good times.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But I was wondering, I mean, what is wrong, or what can I do to... It's not
well,
time, it's just... You know?
What is characteristic about those times when you do get nauseated? Is it because of a long, vigorous activity, or?
No, it's just, I mean, I guess maybe that can be attributed to it, but...
Right, if he's doing a lot of deep penetration and stuff, you can stir up your viscera pretty good, and it can be very uncomfortable.
Really?
The other thing to be worried about is that they have an infection in the uterus or in the fallopian tubes.
Uh-huh.
You know, that is something you should get checked out. Have you had a pap smear lately?
Yeah.
And everything was okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's probably just his enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Nothing ever weird happened to you that would make you throw up, you know, when you thought about sex. Like,
no.
It's not one of those things. Like, you know, sometimes you drink too much something or you eat too much something when you're a kid, and then now whenever you see it, you want to throw up. It's not one of those things. You all right?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Drew, viscera. That's your guts?
It's your innards, yeah.
So you usually just mean guts? It doesn't really mean lungs, right?
No.
Or
viscera means your organs.
Yeah, but your lungs are organs.
Yeah, and they're viscera. They're viscera, but really you're usually talking about guts.
Talking about guts, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There
you go. Visceral, like a gut reaction.
Visceral reaction. Yeah. Julie?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
This question is directed towards both of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married to a sailor, and right now he's over in the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And before he left, we had a good marriage. And after he left, he started acting weird and possessive, and he became very emotionally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing a counselor for it, and I am also in contact with a chaplain on the base.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband refuses to think that anything's wrong with him, and my question is, should I go ahead and divorce him now or give him some sort of a chance when he comes back, because I've discussed it with him several times and he still thinks that he is God-like perfect.
Go ahead.
What kind of emotional abuse did he give you?
It's been over the phone?
No, before he left. he started getting emotionally or verbally abusive.
Right?
Yeah, he hit me once, but I had listened to him and I felt that I deserved him.
Oh, you deserve being hit?
Yeah.
Well, wait a second.
I know that I don't now.
Right. Well, you said that he was becoming verbally abusive before he left.
Well, he hadn't, not verbally before he left. And he is now. And, like, some of the things he says, he calls me names.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I know. Look, here's the deal. He was physically abusive before she left, and then he continued verbally abusing her after he's been gone.
Okay.
All right.
Julie?
We got to give an interpretation of Julie's
I know.
Stories.
Well, you know what we need, Drew?
Yeah?
We need someone who speaks English who can interpret.
English. Maybe from...
He was not verbally abusive before he left, but he did get physically abusive on one occasion.
Correct?
Right.
Yes? Hold on. Yes. Julie, is there anything going on around you right now?
Are you working?
No.
Are you hearing us clearly? Can you focus?
Yeah.
She's driving,
okay.
She said.
Okay, hold on a second. Drew, why is there a two-second delay for everything and a weird
echo?
She
said she's driving. She's driving. She's like
okay,
turning
Drew, you've become one of our listeners. Why is there a two-second delay for every answer? Is she going through a pylon course at, like on a is she doing like the like she at Bob Bondurant School of Race Driving or something, or is she just driving? Mm-hmm. I talk to you every night, Drew. You're fine. Julie?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's the cell phone.
Yeah.
He was physically abusive before he left, before he shipped out.
Right. At one occasion.
And then became verbally abusive after he got on the ship.
Right.
And what kind of stuff, would he threaten you when he called you?
He threatened to leave me all the time. And he told me that I was lying all the time, which I wasn't. And he accused me of sleeping with everybody, mm-hmm. and I wasn't.
All right.
Mm. He also called me names, and he put down that he could say he did.
Was he drunk when he was saying these things?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have kids?
No kids.
Good. Excellent. All right. Julie, what happens when you have a sort of an abusive dad is you look for a strong figure to sort of protect you. And when they're not abusive at the beginning and you think it's just somebody that's going to protect you from those feelings of powerlessness that you had. But those are the guys that create a power imbalance and eventually start exploiting and abusing you. And that's what you've done here. When to tell him, you don't have to take any more verbal abuse from him. Tell him clearly that if this continues, you're leaving and that's that. I suspect you're going to do a little more dancing with him before you do actually leave. That he'll shape up for a while. He'll come home. He'll get abusive again. Then you'll threaten to leave again.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you got to do something about this.
Okay,
he's got to either be willing to take treatment or you got to get out.
Okay, but here's the thing. Yeah, you just tell him straight out. If he's interested in continuing the relationship, he's got to enter some counseling.
Yep.
If he doesn't want to enter counseling, fine. You're out of the relationship.
Yeah, that's it.
And either way, it solves itself. You don't want to be with him if he's not in counseling. And if he is in counseling, you do want to be with him. So it works out just fine.
That's good times.
That's good times. Yeah. Anthony?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
Well, don't worry. That's what I like. This is what I love about this country. We take our abusive guys, we put them on a boat, we send them over to the Persian Gulf.
Let them abuse other people, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Anthony?
Yeah.
All right, 18, what's up?
Yeah, like 5 months ago, my mom started looking for guys. Well, my parents are divorced,
mm-hmm.
and my mom, like, they've been divorced for, like, about 7 years. And just, like, 5 months ago, my mom was on the internet, like, looking for guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she finally found a guy. He lived like all the way in Chicago, you know. We had this big ordeal. There's warrants out for him and blah, blah, blah. And he ruined my mom's business, so my mom moved with him to Chicago.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on. He ruined your mom's business, so your mom moved with him to Chicago?
Well, the whole thing was because my dad called Social Security or...
Social Service?
Yeah, and that's because my mom had a daycare.
Okay.
And, like, that kind of killed my mom's, business. Yeah. So.
What did he do? He didn't abuse anybody, did he?
He kind of, like, was kind of weird. He kind of, like, messed with the kids there, you know?
Oh, my God.
And he had, he didn't do anything like
sexual.
Nothing like that. But he had warrants on him.
What did he do with the kids?
He didn't really. No, it's not that he did anything. It was just because more of the warrants that were.
You said he messed with the kids.
He would just kind of scare him, I guess, like joke around, but it was nothing like serious.
Hey, he had warrants. There was like a felon who was mincing around with the kids, and that screwed the business up.
Oh, my God.
All right, so your mom's out of town now in Chicago?
Yeah, she's like living in Chicago right now.
All right.
She left her kids behind.
Yeah, we had so many memories that she just like left in like 5 months. And this guy, he's like only 28. My mom's like 49.
Yeah.
Oh, your mom, my God.
Yeah, your mom's a piece of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second, Anthony, because we got to take a break. All right.
Good times.
All right. Take a quick break. We'll be back with Anthony and Screwball Mom after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew. Drew?
Yep.
In Cleveland tonight, are we?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How's the weather over there in Cleveland?
Nice. Blustery. High 30s, low 40s. Very nice.
Real weather.
It's very nice.
When are you coming back?
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird. I was just thinking about this as I went to the bathroom with my food poisoning.
Poisoning?
Oh, you'd be like tingly. You'd be so happy.
What, did you have the squirts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good times.
Where'd you get that?
I don't know. Well, that's what I was going to say. When you're on Pacific time, when you're on the East Coast, you know, I kind of keep my head in that time so I don't go through a jet lag when I come home.
Yeah.
You want to have dinner at like 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And I threw some food down before I came over here, but it's weird. People are like, "Are you eat?" I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like living in sort of some sort of parallel world. You're like you're not really part of.
Well, it's hard to sometimes places stop serving at a certain time.
But I mean, you're hungry and want to get going when everyone else is like gone, absent.
Yeah,
they're having to page people to come in and get your food.
Yeah, but what happened with the squirts? That's what I'm curious about. You got food poisoning?
Yeah.
But, Drew, isn't it true that it takes about 11, 12 hours for the food poisoning to kick in?
On average. But there's some that can be a little quicker. It probably is more just something in the food that's upsetting my stomach.
Well, Drew, you're delicate down there.
Oh, yeah.
You eat any peppers or garlic or anything like that, you get very gassy, right?
Yeah.
What else? Nothing?
What else?
Onions?
Green onions.
Green
onions.
The
worst thing for me. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh.
All right, well, take care of you. So you're gassy, yes?
And squirty.
That's nice. All right, shall we...
Just to make you happy.
Should we hop on the phones?
You want to finish with Anthony, no?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Anthony, the world's worst mom. Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay, so your mom took off to Chicago with an idiot. Yeah. You're left behind with who?
With my brother. Like, we had to go through this whole court thing to get... Mm-hmm. My dad had to get custody of my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we won that.
Yeah, so you're living with your dad?
Yeah.
All right.
And, like, my brother just, like, kind of moved in, and, like, he's, like, only, like, 12 years old, and, like, I don't even know, like, what's going through his mind because he doesn't want to live here because, you know, he's, like, really close with my mom, you know, because he lived down there and I lived with my dad.
Oh, boy.
And so he doesn't like this at all, you know. And he'd rather be in Chicago, and he thinks my mom's boyfriend is some great guy, but he's just using my mom.
Oh, boy.
And so he doesn't get along with your dad too well?
No, actually, before, like, my mom even met this guy, my dad and them had a great relationship, and now it's like my brother doesn't want to talk to my dad, and my dad...
Well, your brother blames your dad for your mom's behavior, basically. The fact that she's gone is your dad's problem. He's not looking realistically at who the mom is. I'll tell you what, one thing that can be helpful in a situation like this is a positive relationship with an older person. And you're just about there in terms of being able to deliver that relationship. You know, you're an adult now, you're 18. Be a positive role in his life. Be a positive force. So you can get real connected with him. And just, you know, go out and talk to him a lot and see if you can keep him going. When you look at at-risk kids, or at-risk homes anyway, which certainly your brother comes from, the one thing that helps decrease the probability that things are going to turn out bad for your brother or any kids like that is a single positive relationship away from the home. Now, technically, you're not away from the home, but I think you could still serve that function. Or encourage him to get a relationship with somebody, a coach or somebody.
Mm. Will he listen to you?
He's just kind of really lazy and just, like, kind of watches TV all day.
Well, he's depressed.
Yeah.
He's depressed, sure.
All right. So go hang out with him.
Yeah.
Get him to throw the ball around and that kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
Do all that junk. Drew, you never had an older brother, did you?
No. Did you?
Yeah, I killed him when I was 11.
I figured.
No, I never had an older brother.
No.
I can't decide. Here's the thing. I always wish I had an older brother, but now I'm glad because I know he'd be borrowing money from me.
Oh, he's a Corolla.
He'd be coming to me like every... You see, my family, no one in my family has any money, and they would be leeching money off of me, but they're, like, almost too lazy to get off the sofa.
Yeah, here's your fantasy. He would have, like, a car, customizing car shop.
He'd be
working there when you're 15.
Yeah, and I'd be, he'd be like, his girlfriend would have a hot little sister that I'd be banging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. He'd give me his Letterman jacket to wear around school. Yeah. But here's the reality. I know if I had a brother who was a couple years older than me now, he'd have a new idea for a crappy business every 10 minutes.
And he'd be funding it.
He'd just need $50,000 of seed money to get rolling with it, you know, because he's got a great idea for a T-shirt. Tim, so I'm glad I don't have one now. Tim. All right.
Oh, my God. He's done. Get rid of Tim. That was no good.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's full of crap, right?
Yeah.
Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, it started in about 2000. I met this guy that I had actually liked since about the sixth grade, but I had never had the nerve to talk to him. And, we were going out for probably a month before I actually got pregnant, but I found out a month after that. And then in July, he cheated on me with some chick. I don't even know who she was. And after that, our relationship went downhill from there. I had my son in August, and he's
with him.
Huh?
From him.
Yeah.
His child. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's 14 months old now. And he just treats me like crap. Calls me names all the time, and him and my mother fight, and. He probably gives me about $22 a week to buy food and diapers and wipes and all that for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't even give me the money. I make a list for him, and that's the only way he wants it, is I give him the list, he goes and gets whatever he needs.
All right. He's an idiot. Right? So why? What's new?
I don't know what to do. Everybody tells me to go, that the only people he's going to listen to is a judge.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's fine. How
you know what's interesting, Adam? Think, Adam, how people wish people to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All this stuff about these women who hook up with these abandoning or jackhole guys,
mm-hmm.
and they just spend all their energy wishing him into somebody else.
Yeah.
Shaping him shaping him into someone like he's made out of clay,
yeah.
in fact, and then wishing him into a real boy. Yeah. You know, it's like Pinocchio. That's the Pinocchio story.
Well, it's how God made a woman. He took 100 pounds of clay. he mashed it. Well, I'd say more like 145 pounds of clay, but yeah, it's not going to work. All right, everybody, listen to me, Michelle, including you.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm a genius. And let me explain human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Most human beings do not change at all from birth, from cradle to the grave, okay?
Well,
shut up.
By the time the cement's dry, they don't change.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Some human beings change a little bit later in life. Usually they just mellow out a little bit. All the fighting, all the drug abuse, all the boozing and abusing. For guys, they start to mellow like in their later 30s, mid-30s. But there is zero change going on when a guy's 20, 21, 19 years old. Mm-hmm. You actually are getting worse at 19 mm-hmm. or 20 as a male. Mm-hmm. Probably until at least 25, 26. And then it's nothing. Every guy I knew, growing up, all the troublemakers, all the guys who got into trouble with the law, had troubles with booze or substance or jobs or their family, you would sit them down, you would talk to them, you would explain to them what they're doing, that if they got another DUI or if they got in trouble with the law again or if they got in trouble with their folks again, they'd be thrown out, blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter. They were almost worse. It's almost as if you told them to go out and do whatever it is you didn't want them to do. So this guy's how old?
He's going to be 20 in the 21st.
First off, he's an idiot, so he may never change. And secondly, if he does, he's 15 years away from it.
Ooh.
So it's all just, now it's just consequence.
And we got a break, so good times.
Yeah. Just listen. It's bring the judge. No, I don't want to. Here, everybody, listen. These people, all they need is consequences. They need to have their licenses taken away. They need to lose their jobs. They need to spend time in prison. They need to have judges, court orders, parole officers. That's all the stuff they need. So don't reason with this guy. You got a kid. He owes you money. He's being irresponsible.
You get it.
Go get that money. Go to court and garnish his wages.
Yep.
We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. Yeah. Woo! I'm Adam. Am I on again, off again? Lover, Dr. Drew? He's in Cleveland, baby.
We're not having trouble again, are we?
No, we're good.
All right.
We're good. You're going to be back on Sunday, yes?
Yes.
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 Cypress Hill, Everlast, Edema, Tommy Chung, Snoop Dogg.
Good times.
Big smoke out going on next week. So a lot of those guys, well, all those guys will be in the studio at one point or another. Brooke.
Hello.
You're 18. What's up?
Hi. Whenever I have sex in my vagina, if I can feel in the back like my anal, it hurts back there.
When she has sex with her vagina.
Vagina.
With her vagina.
Pressure on my anal.
She can feel it in the anal.
Pressure on her anal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it hurts. Mm.
Brooke?
I need to hear more.
I'm going to take a wild guess here. I'm going to make two guesses. I don't even know. I'm going pre-med, and I'm going brown. No, pen. No, brown. Yeah. Pen.
Yale. I'm just going to Yale.
Brooke?
Yeah?
Which is it?
What? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. So, wait a minute. Junior college?
No, I'm trying to go to college right now, but I live on my own.
Okay, what happened? Why are you living on your own?
I moved out when I was 16.
Uh-oh.
Why?
What happened? Yeah. Someone put pressure on your anal?
No, because my mother and I didn't get along, so I just moved out.
Was she hitting you?
Yep.
She was hitting you.
Beating on you. Yep. That's why kids move out.
She was hitting you.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't...
My mother and I didn't get along, so I moved out.
Was she hitting you?
No.
Yeah, see, we
never got along. I mean, like normal people, but she didn't think it was normal. So I just decided that I should just leave, so I just left.
I knew she didn't hear you, Drew, when you said hitting part.
No.
No. Okay, so Brooke,
you have a
boyfriend, a steady boyfriend?
Yeah, we've been together for a year and a half.
Okay, what are you using for birth control? Some foil?
I'm using... The pills.
Which
ones? What is it called?
Oral pills.
Tricycline. Yeah.
All right.
Tricycline. All right.
The pills, yeah.
Okay.
Ortho tricycline.
Yeah.
All right, good. You remember to take it every day?
Yep.
All right.
You know, it goes in your mouth, right? It's not a rectal thing. Okay. All right.
Well, having pressure in the anus, have you always had that or just something new?
It's pretty new. But maybe for like half a year now.
Yeah, and have you ever had any infections?
Yes.
What kind of infection?
I've had PID like twice.
All right, so this could be PID again, huh? Or it could be related to the PID. You could have cysts, you could have abscess, you could have a lot of things going on.
So where? To the gyno?
Yeah.
PID is pelvic inflammatory disease, and so that's an infection in the tubes. It's a pretty serious infection.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause scarring, and it can cause problems that can continue to cause pain. So have you been back to see the doctor lately?
No.
All right,
I tried going, but they give me a lot of hassle, and I don't have enough time. I live on my own, so it's really hard.
You need like an ultrasound so they can look in there and see what's going on.
Okay.
Do you get nauseated when you're having sex ever?
A little bit, not really. Every now and then, but I don't really like pay attention to it. So
yeah,
good girl.
Right, you gotta get that checked out, bro.
Where are you working?
I was working at the mall for a little while at Express, and now I'm trying to work at a bank right now. So.
Dang. And you don't have time to go to the doctor?
I just moved too. I just moved. My fiance and I were living together, and then we decided to take a little bit of a break.
Right.
And I moved out to my own place, so.
Okay.
That's good.
Just moved
that's
recently.
Good. That's good.
That's good. Good.
All right. So what do you...
We don't like him.
Yeah, we don't like him, but what are you doing for money?
I have another job at nighttime, too, like a little fast food job at nighttime.
All right, baby.
I wanted two jobs, so...
Okay.
Wow.
You take care of yourself, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right, Brooke. All right. Good time.
All right, baby.
Okay.
Hey, don't worry about going to junior college.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't bother with that.
Yeah, right.
Big waste of time.
No, it's not.
Why? What do you want to be?
College isn't a waste of time at all.
Yeah, it is. Junior college is. It's not technically college.
What do you want to do with that?
What do I want to do with college? I think I'm going to move to my dad's house in Wisconsin. He's going to pay for me to go to school and let me live at his house.
Excellent. What are your goals in education?
I want to be maybe an accountant or something like that.
Okay. Mm. Adam, that's good.
Interior designer or something.
Okay.
Well, right. Getting a little
interior designer.
Of course.
Accountant
or an astronaut.
Well, listen. Here's what I'm going to say to all our young listeners. If you didn't do too well in high school, and maybe school isn't your thing, and it probably isn't if by the time you've gone through 12 grades of it and you've not been very good at any of those grades, and it's been 12 whole years. I mean, let's equate it to a sport, Drew.
Yeah.
How many years of basketball would you have to play before you realize maybe you weren't the star of the team?
Yeah, and yet
think about that. 12 years of going out for the team and not being able to hit a layup. At a certain point, don't people walk up to you and go, hey, it's time to put the basketball down? Do you know what I'm saying, Drew?
Equate it to any sport.
Any sport. Forget
Eventually,
about Disney.
You find
fantasy.
Those shoes where you jump 14 feet.
And yeah, flubber. Listen, somebody needs to get hold of these guys who have been in 11, 12 grades of school and have sucked the entire time. And like I said, just use the sports analogy here. And someone needs to tap them on the shoulder and say, you're thinking of going to the next level with your basketball?
Yeah.
You're saying you're going to attempt to make the adult team now for the next 10 years of your life? No. Get a job.
You know what, though? I have seen some people who are sort of not such good students become excellent students.
In their 30s. In their 30s.
Yeah, late 20s.
Not 19 or 20.
Yeah. All right.
You people who aren't excelling in school, fine. You know what you need to do? You need to pick a trade. You need to pick something specific. I don't care if it's bartending school. I don't care if it's computer programming or a computer technician. I don't care if it's underwater welding. Just pick something that takes a year or 6 months to get into. You're not taking history. You're not taking calc or trig or any of this kind of stuff. You're simply focusing on the one topic that you want to make a living in. You work on that for 6 months, a year and a half. Pow, you're making $19.50 an hour in full benefits.
Pow.
Instead of going to junior college for 6 years and making $8 an hour.
Vic?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
You can't agree. Can you agree with that or not?
I agree with you like six times over. Now, next call.
How dare you.
You're right. You're right.
Say it one more time.
You're right.
All right. Nick?
And I love you.
Yeah.
All right. Easy now.
You guys, oh my gosh, you guys are awesome.
You're weirding me out. You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, anyway, I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 6 months, and we've been sexually active for 4 months. And the other day, we got to talking. She's bisexual, by the way.
And, good times.
What's that?
Good times.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to talking. When we started going out, like at first, we promised that, you know, we wouldn't let her sexuality get in the way. But anyway, as it's coming out, I was talking to her the other day, and it seems like she's interested in a threesome with one of our friends that's actually friends with both of us. And I want to know if this is going to work out or if it's not healthy at all or what.
Well, the relationship will die a savage death, but you will have gotten a threesome out of the deal, and you're not going to marry her anyway. So what the hell?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But things are over between my girlfriend and I, if that happens, or what?
Yeah. It's gonna. You'll be amazed how unstable things become.
But it's over already because she's talking about it.
She's saying bye bye to relationship.
Right.
Hello to bye.
She's chaotic.
That sucks. All right.
She has trouble with intimacy, Nick. She can't be in a stable relationship. That's what happens when people need to bring other chaos in and a little drama into a relationship. That's because they're uncomfortable in relationships.
Okay, so what if I tell her no and don't want to do it? Would she, like, just dump me, or?
No.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, she might. I mean, it's an anyway. Social experiment. Yeah. No one has ever done that. No,
yeah. No male has ever said no.
That.
Yeah.
I say if you say no, you will add a few months to the relationship.
Somebody might combust here.
Yeah. Like his ball sack.
Yeah.
No, Nick, what I'm saying is, and Drew, tell me if you agree. If Nick says, no, I'm into you and I don't want the threesome, I'm guessing she'll figure out another way to sort of sabotage it.
Right.
But
right.
She'll be intrigued in reeling a little bit. Yeah. And you'll probably squeeze an extra 6 weeks to 2.5 months out of the deal. Maybe not that much because he's on 16-year-old time. Let's say 3 weeks to 5 weeks out of the deal. If he does the threesome, it'll be over 10 days after the threesome easily.
Exactly.
Either way, it's going to be over. Alex?
Hi.
Hey.
First, I want to say, Adam, I saw you on this VH1 Eligible Bachelor special, and you looked really hot.
God.
What was that?
I have no idea. It was like most eligible rock bachelors, and you were saying how Mark McGrath was really hot.
Oh.
And if you weren't a guy, you would do him or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I really like thin crust pizza.
Good girl.
Yeah.
It's because I thought I'd start out with you being hot as the first thing.
Smart, yeah. Now you've worked the thin crust.
You've got him going, Alex. He's completely eaten out of your hand now.
All right.
I'm going to be eating out something else in a second.
All right.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Okay, I have kind of the stupidest question ever, but actually it kind of comes from listening to your show. I think I'm, like, such a hypochondriac, and I was wondering, is there, like, any treatment for that?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's really, you're talking about what we call somaticizing, that you're preoccupied about your body and your health, and you have lots of funny symptoms and things. What exactly are the manifestations for you?
I don't know. Like the other day, you guys were talking about, like, part of having an STD, you'll have pelvic pains, and I'm like, oh, my God, I get those sometimes, and I don't know, and I'm... Just like, I was watching a commercial for depression, and I was like, oh, my God, I had trouble sleeping the other night. I must be depressed, and I'll just freak out about everything.
You're just suggestible, that's all. I don't think you... Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I do, like, take really good care of myself. Like, I run, like, 5 miles every day and stuff like that.
Did you take ballet when you were 4?
Actually, I did when I was 3.
Ooh, eating disorder?
No, I never had an eating disorder. Mm-hmm.
Just over-exercised all the time.
Well, I don't exercise on Saturdays. That's my day off.
Yeah, but the rest of the time you're... Yeah.
You Jewish?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, those are your people's boy. Sabbath. Hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew. Jew meets excessive road work. There's a... I smell over-domineering mom.
Oh, yeah. You kidding? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but listen, ballet at 4.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Alex?
Actually, I was born in Russia. Mm-hmm. That's why I took ballet so young.
Oh. Yeah. Is your mom domineering?
No, not at all.
Hmm. Is she Jewish?
My mom's half Jewish. My dad's the Jewish one.
All right, that mellowed her out. All right, and she's a Russian Jew, right?
Yeah.
All right, that's different.
Yeah.
Different than the wily North American Jew.
I, like, really differ from most of your callers because I have, like, this perfect upbringing.
Oh.
So, okay. I don't know. I just like being in shape and stuff. And okay.
Right, look, you're an anxious person. You have a lot of anxiety. You use exercise as a way of managing feelings of emptiness and anxiety and things, and that's okay. Just be careful it doesn't kind of become overwhelming and compulsive. And, you know, when you have anxiety, that's also common for people to preoccupy about physical disorders and things. But, you know, we'll see how this goes. You're 19. Time will tell.
Well, let me say a few things, Drew.
Yeah.
Not about this last call, but about me.
Oh, thinking about you again. No, impossible.
Couple things. Well, one, couple of them don't have to do with me, but a couple do. First off, that hottest eligible bachelor thing.
Yeah.
I've said this more than once. I think there's a part, like when I wasn't in show business, I just assumed that anytime some celebrity was on TV, they knew about it.
Yeah.
I watched the first part of that celebrity thing, like the commercial and the first 5 minutes of it. And then I went, oh, feh. And I changed it. Now, I had no idea I was on it, and no one ever tells you anything.
Right.
And you film this stuff 6 months ago, and you never get a heads up from anybody.
Right.
You just don't know. I mean, you think you know, but everything comes out 6 months after you do it. And, you know, they never tell you when you do it, like it's going to air on this date or mark your calendar or we'll send you a postcard as a reminder or anything. Stuff just comes and goes all the time. You'll never see yourself. Drew, yes?
Yeah, you'll never
get a copy of it. You'll never know it.
That's right.
And because there's so many goddamn shows on TV and people are sort of used to seeing you, people don't even tell you anymore.
I know.
It's completely done. Number two. On TV, I saw something that I'd always suspected, and I thought it was real interesting last week on 60 Minutes. They were talking about all these people on welfare and how most of them were depressed, mm-hmm. and how that played quite a role, quite a big yes. role in their yes. Their need to be on welfare. And it's
Adam, how yes. many years have you been saying that? How many years?
Many years, I suspect. Well, I know because my mom was on welfare. My mom was always depressed, and it wasn't really, you know, it's not like the way the Republicans like to make it out to seem, which is, oh, these people are lazy, and it's not really like the Democrats make it out to be, which is, these people have been held down by the system.
No.
It's they're depressed.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. When you're depressed and your family doesn't have any money, you're going to be on welfare.
Yep.
Because when you're depressed, the last thing you can do is work.
Yeah.
You can't get up in the morning. You can't take care of yourself. You can't groom yourself. You can't, you know, get your car going, get the insurance, get the first and last, get all that stuff you need to do that has to do with work. You can't do it when you're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one of those situations where we always talk about our government, that is it is their job and our feeling to be sort of use psychology in order to get to the root of these problems in order to save ourselves some money and some anxiety.
Yes.
And let's just figure out why people are on welfare and then approach it like it's a problem that you want to get rid of.
Yes.
All right. So depression.
So treat the depression, then suddenly people want to go out and do things.
That's okay, right. Job. And spend $5 a month on medication for these people and a little counseling. And save yourself $687 worth of welfare checks for the rest of their life.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Good times.
Kristen?
Yes?
You're 28?
I am. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. My question is I was just curious if there is a G-spot on the inside.
Well, that when people are talking about the G-spot, that's what they're talking about, is a bundle of nerves under the pelvic bone there, basically. But it's sort of an overdone concept. Look, some women need direct clitoral stimulation, usually with things like oral sex, in order to have an orgasm. Some women orgasm the moment there's penetration. That's just how you're configured biologically.
Yeah, I never seen that.
Some have multiple orgasms without refractoriness. Some have one big one, and that's it.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if, like, my crotch was broken or...
Yeah. Well, this is what bothers me about this, is that women feel flawed if they're not sort of... they don't respond the way Cosmo said they should.
Yeah, well, so many girls that I talk to, because I'm very open about my sexuality, they can have them on the inside, but I can't do it. Doesn't matter how we do it or whatever.
Most women never have orgasm with intercourse.
Amen. Never. Amen.
Most women.
Amen.
Some do, and some have multiple with intercourse, but most have none. They have to have a direct stimulation of some type.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so there's just, like, no point in even me, like, worth trying, like, to
you
do
can,
it
you can,
never
you,
happen?
It's probably not going to happen. If you can, you know, why? Don't stress yourself.
Well, your body does change every few years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're 34... Something may jar loose down there, and you know, your vagina becomes like an old car. Stuff loosens up. So here's the thing. Yeah, you may. I mean, she may be able to have a vaginal intercourse orgasm
someday.
At age 37.
Maybe,
but
not
don't,
likely. But
don't
maybe.
Don't get caught up on it. And yes, I wish more women knew that they were just all over the map sexually.
That's what makes I find bizarre is that women don't even know how women function.
Yes.
They don't. There's nothing out there that gives women realistic information about themselves and men.
Okay, but
it's unbelievable.
But true.
Yeah.
Don't you think in general those kinds of magazines like Cosmo and Vogue and all those crap, those rags. Don't you think in general their message, and it's the way they sell more copies, is you can change, you can be like this person, whether it has to do with orgasms or having flat abs or a beautiful ass or beautiful skin. Isn't that sort of the message? And isn't the reality that, hey, if you're a chick with thick ankles and a wide ass and can't have an orgasm, you better get used to it. You ain't changing any of those things.
You're kind of right. And there's something even kind of more subtle about it, where all the pictures and the stories about spas and things, it's sort of to transport them. They imagine that's them there. That's me.
Right.
That's me at this thing. It's me having this experience. And that's a bizarre sort of thing to promote in women.
But they're not so interested in telling women that you're all very different.
No.
And the way you are is the way you are.
Right.
That
doesn't sell magazines. You're right.
Yeah, you got fat calves, thick ankles, and small boobs, and that's you, sister. you could eat all, you can go on the grapefruit diet. That ain't going to change those fat ankles. You know what I mean? It's like shrinking your nose through exercise and diet. It bothers me that we shove this message, and then what happens to young women, I think they just spend their entire life in a constant attempt to metamorphosize, and it never mm-hmm. happens.
Of course.
Chicks spend age 12 to age 55 dieting and trying to find an orgasm.
Yeah.
And it never happens.
Yeah.
Just relax, everybody. You find some guy who likes a wide ass and doesn't mind going down on a broad, you call it a life. Right, Drew?
Good times. All right?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
We'll be back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. He's in Cleveland tonight.
Yeah, he is.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew?
Yeah.
Want to know two signs you're getting old?
Two, all right.
Yeah, both happened to me today.
All right.
Within about 20 minutes of each other.
All right.
Couldn't remember my ATM PIN number.
Ooh. Yeah, that memory thing is very distracting.
And then went over to the barber.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Latina broad was done snipping my hair.
Wait, you have a woman now. You used to have a guy.
Yeah, I just go whoever, whatever. I found a new place, $10.
Nice.
$10, that's all it takes. After she was done buzzing the hair, gave the eyebrows a clip.
Oh.
Gave him a buzz. Yeah. Put the comb on it. You know, buzzed it by. Yes, you have one foot in the grave when they hit the brow with the buzzer.
The last 5 years are marked by the beginning of them hitting your ears.
Yeah, they start digging that thing into your ears. Yeah, it's like you need to be groomed like you were the Unabomber living up in a shack for 20 years, you know, except for you need it every 5 weeks.
Oh.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Nice.
Yeah, you want to know what my problem is with the, it happened with you too.
What's that?
I take out like $500 from my ATM and I pay for everything with my credit card, so it lasts me like a month. And then I run out of money, and I start bumming $20 here and $20 there from everybody I know. And the next thing you know, 2 months has gone by since I've went to the ATM, and then I forgot the number. See, I got to use that thing. You know, it's like not dialing a phone number for 6 months or something.
Right.
You got to use it every once in a while. You got to dust it off. And that ATM thing, no, if I don't use it, I can't remember. So I just stood at a 7-Eleven. Putting in random numbers, four-digit numbers, for about a half an hour until it finally spit out a thing telling me to leave.
I was going to say, we're going to come arrest you for trying to falsify this card.
Yeah.
There you go. Megan's 15.
Way. Megan.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi, I was wondering, like, if you have sex on your period and the guy jizzes inside you, how likely are you to get pregnant?
Jizzes inside. That's a Seattleite term, Adam. You got that?
Yep. Little
for the Pacific Northwest. The jizzes.
You get a little Thousand Island going in there.
Yeah. No.
Oh, sorry.
Well, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
How likely, Drew, if the guy jizzes in there?
Not as likely as during the middle of the cycle, but there's always a possibility.
Megan?
Yeah.
Something happened, Megan?
Yeah.
Well, he did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's
how long ago? When?
Like a couple of days ago.
You got to get that morning after pill. You got 3 days to take that pill, right?
Yeah, well, it happened on Monday.
Yeah, Drew.
Thursday.
What are the chances she's going to do this thing? Megan, listen to me.
You can use those pills up to 5 days in reality.
I don't think you're pregnant this time around.
Yeah.
But you're going to be pregnant soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're having unprotected sex with a guy who likes to jizzes inside you? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do about this?
I don't know. I guess I use protection.
You're getting on the pill?
How about the birth control pill?
Yeah, I'll try that. I just don't know how I'm going to get it because I don't want my mom to get it for me because then she'll find out.
Planned Parenthood.
Go to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
you gotta do it, Megan. If you're gonna, she's gonna find out when you're pregnant. All right.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Let's take care of this properly. All right.
Okay.
Will you do this, please?
Yeah.
You gotta go get yourself checked out, get on the routine and everything. Okay.
Mhm.
Okay. Well, listen, as I've said many times, all you dumb people out there, no problem. Just listen to smart people when they tell you to do stuff, and you're set. You're done.
I got a discussion tonight again about the morning after pill. That's someone in the audience has said, you know, I think it's an abortion. I said, really? Let's examine how it works. And, I got the whole thing about how the morning after pill really just suppresses ovulation. She starts out with, well, it depends when you define pregnancy. I said, really? It works just like the normal pill and suppresses the egg from being released. Well, you shouldn't get yourself in that position. So really, it is an abortion.
Yeah, that's, of course. I've said it once, said it 1,000 times. The right-to-lifers have no interest in life. If they had real interest in life, they wouldn't be against, they wouldn't be for the death penalty and many other situations where life is taken.
This one actually went as far as finally agreeing that she had to make the statement that all contraceptives, oral contraceptives, should be eliminated.
Here's all I want out of society. Of course, just go ahead and take your crackpot stance and just stick with it.
Yeah, make it at least consistent logically.
Yes, you right to lifers aren't any more interested in saving lives than the gun lovers are. Interested in freedom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Gun lovers like guns, not freedoms. And right-to-lifers, they don't like babies as much as they like telling adults what not to do sexually. Mm-hmm. And then having them punished. Because the right-to-lifer, basically what their thing is we do not like you having sex without marriage or having sex without consequences, and we're going to veil it in this whole right-to-life business and anti-abortion business. But as soon as someone comes out with a magic pill that says, hey, guess what, you could have sex and not have an abortion, we're against that too.
Yeah.
We're right-to-life's a bunch of guys who never got laid in high school and are now angry at the world. And are going to take it out on anyone who wants to have recreational sex. Hey, we've spoken to all these people. And not only is it the right-to-lifers, but the abstinent people are the same group. They're the nerds from high school, the religious freaks, and the wackos who could never get laid. And now they make it their business for society not to get laid. And they want people who get laid to be punished if they do it out of wedlock. But just admit it. Just admit it. Here's the problem. If they start admitting it, people realize what crackpots they are and stop listening to them. All right, thank you, Drew. All the people, all you idiots who write letters and pickets, you retards, stop it. Go home. Go to work. Vic?
Hi, how are you?
You're 41?
Yes.
What's
yes,
up?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I had a question for Dr. Drew, basically.
Yeah?
It seems, it's my own observation, I've got 4 children. And it seems that every time my wife got pregnant, it was because I've given her an orgasm after I've had my orgasm. And I've heard that the convulsions or whatever a woman's having during her orgasm helps draw sperm up to her uterus. And I want to see if there's any truth to that.
That was a kind of a crazy old thought that probably has no validity.
It just seemed to work every time, you know. It was like,
well, how often are you guys having sex?
Twice, three times a week.
All right, so you don't
I've
even know which...
Since.
Yeah, but how do you know... All right, but if you have sex twice a week, how do you know which time you had sex was the one she got pregnant?
Oh, well, I work midnight, so there's been times that we've only had sex maybe once or even once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And that's when, that was when she got pregnant?
That's when she was getting pregnant. And it seemed like every time, it was like, the first time, we kind of like made a joke about it. Oh, that's why, you know, this and that, because we heard it on TV or something.
And then what, didn't give her orgasms the rest of the time you were having sex?
No, it's usually I gave hers first.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
But then
how do you give her hers when you're done?
Hey, anyway, orally, manually.
Orally. Oh, man. I mean,
you just keep, there's a way to keep your face away from what you just jizzed.
Really? With the oral, huh?
I got a long tongue.
Yeah, it could present a problem. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds sounds like smoking a cigarette and then going right down on the ashtray. I'd try to... Yeah, okay. All right, but good times.
Any way that works. It's good times.
Good times. All right.
Interesting observation, but shouldn't correlate. But, you know, who knows?
That's a dedicated man.
Yeah.
And by the way, God bless Vic for having the motivation to get down there.
Yeah.
After he's finished himself off.
That's right.
That's a dedicated man.
Passionate man.
Yeah. Michael?
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes.
What's going on?
Nothing much. I had a girlfriend a couple months ago, and when we first started dating, she told me she was raped. So I tried helping her through it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then on 4th of July, we had a party, and she claimed she was raped by one of my good friends. And now we found out that the second one wasn't true and the first one wasn't true. I was just wondering what...
How'd you find that out?
Because I was talking to her sister, and her sister said she never knew about it, and her family never knew about it.
Mm.
So I'm just thinking that she told me to get my attention and everything.
Possible.
And then the second one we found out was, like, totally false. And I lost one of my good friends over it. Now, the thing I'm wondering is that, like, what possessed a girl to, like, claim she was raped more than once? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is like somebody who really likes chaos, Michael. This is somebody with probably a personality problem.
Yeah, wait a minute, but her family and her sister may not necessarily know if she was raped the first time.
Well, she told me that her sister knew, and when I asked her sister said she never knew.
Okay, and she claimed a good friend of yours raped her at the 4th of July party?
Yeah.
And wouldn't she know you could verify that with your friend?
Well, the thing is, she said that she didn't know who it was, and I seen her come out of the house, and she said that's the dude that raped her. And I was like, well, I knew who he was. And then she's like, oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't know I knew him. That's why.
Okay. All right, Michael, this is a chaos, complete chaos. Why don't you break up with her?
Well, I did, and the thing is that because I went home on leave, and she kept, like, trying to play emotional games, and then finally she found that I wasn't having it.
What is that?
I'm guessing he was cussing, and it was being bleeped out, or someone riding. Who's riding the horn?
Oh, that's one of my co-workers, sir. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
But the whole deal is that, I went home on leave, she tried playing these emotional games.
Yeah.
And... so finally, she found out I wasn't having it, and she said she never wanted to talk to me again.
Good.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I was in my barracks, and she came driving by saying that she didn't know I lived there, and she wanted to see me again.
Yeah.
Well, you don't talk to her.
Yeah.
No.
All right, just look. I know it's tough. It's tough for guys, especially. See, here's the thing, Drew.
Yeah.
For women, it's a little easier to walk away because they know they're in demand.
Right. They can just move on.
I would just, again, equate it to a job.
Right.
When you know that when it's like you're working over at your uncle's factory and you're some squirrely 19-year-old guy who dropped out of high school and stuff, you know if your uncle fires you, you ain't going to get a job again.
Right.
And
especially if you had a decent job.
And
you knew your uncle.
Yeah. And if you do get another gig, it's going to be over at Taco Bell, right?
Right.
And even then, it's going to be 6 months down the road. You're going to be screwed. But as a 21-year-old guy who's in the military, as a 21-year-old chick, hell, you could hook up with some doctor who was 37.
Yeah.
2 days later. I mean, you're in demand, especially
2 days.
If you're 2 hours,
yeah.
Especially if you're semi-attractive or above.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As a guy, and especially if the chick keeps sniffing around, it's kind of hard to really tell them to get lost, because when they get once they get lost, it's just you and your hand and a bunch of guys in the barracks, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you got to be strong when they're nut jobs like this.
It's bad times.
Okay, Drew. You're Drew over there in Cleveland.
No, okay, Drew. What you said that with disdain.
We're good. I just sometimes I feel like you just pacify me.
What else can I do?
That's there you go again. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Cleveland. About that phone number. We don't need no stinking phones. Edema's going to be in here next week. Snoop Dogg, Tommy Chong, Everlast, Cypress Hill. Oh, man.
You know, I've never met Snoop.
You've never met Snoop?
No.
He is exactly how he seems.
Right, he is Snoop. He Snoop does Snoop.
That's right.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg. Is Snoop Dogg. Some 41. Yeah, Some 41 the week after that. And System of a Down, The Used. Oh,
wow.
Man. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of bands coming in here. And, you know, I'm watching in the next room, watching a little HBO, watching that show, Hookers at the Point, Hookers on the Brink. I can't remember what that show is. You know what show I'm talking about?
I actually watched it for about 5 minutes tonight. I was in my hotel room.
Yeah, they follow the life of the hookers.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There's a couple of interesting things about it. One is how the guys haggle. Am I right that a BJ is like $15 on this with these streetwalkers? Like intercourse is 20 and a BJ is 15, and these guys are trying to haggle them down. They're like, oh, it's like how much for a BJ, baby? $15. Oh, come on, baby. You got to do me better than that. And I start yelling at the TV, like, I'm $20 it's cost me for a lap dance. For a lap dance, it cost me $20. You're going to BJ for 15 and you're pissed? Like, what do you want, a $9 BJ? Like, what do you want, Drew? You go to the airport, you give the guy $20, right?
Yeah. Oh. If I don't, you beat me up for it.
Yeah, but 15, what do you want? 15 for a BJ. You know what they should do? You know what the hookers should do? They should do, like, you know, like piano teachers and personal trainers and stuff. They should go, like, well, it's $15 for an individual BJ, but if you want to buy a block of 10, it's $125.
Interesting.
And they'll give you, like, a BJ card you keep in your wallet, and they could stamp it, you know, like a pizza place, like a sub place.
Eight BJs, 9 for free.
But here's the part that really gets me on this show is... They're doing documentaries, so they don't have to have anyone sign a release or anything.
I love that HBO, though. God, it's just great.
I know, but Drew, seriously, you know half of these guys that are heading down there for the $15 BJ are either in committed relationships or married or living with somebody. Well, right? I mean, these guys, ironically, these are the guys that patronize the hookers the most, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're sitting there and you're this guy's old lady and you're seeing the guys... Green Explorer that you guys lease, and even though the license plate is tiled out, you see the tint on the window, and the my kid's an honor student at Louis Pasteur Middle School, and you're hearing the guy's voice and hearing the guy's rap. Don't you know that's your husband? Yeah. I mean, how busted are you when you're sitting home?
But you know who the people are that are married to guys like that would immediately kick into denial.
Yeah, but on the other hand, these guys are working class guys living in a tough neighborhood, and the wife's cranking out the kids, and her libido's gone, and you want to blow off a little steam once in a while. It doesn't mean they're abusive, alcoholic a-holes.
Yeah.
Tony?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
Me and my girlfriend have been going out for about a month and a half.
How much for a BJ? $4. Come on, girl. You got to do me better than that.
Whatever she says.
You guys been going out for how long?
About a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having sex and everything for about a week now.
She's how old?
She's 17, almost 18.
And you're 19?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a
sex
sudden...
Sex for a week in a new relationship means about 34 times.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, all of a sudden she decides that we're not going to have sex anymore until we get married.
No.
And I'm just like...
little bait and switch.
Okay. I was just, I mean, I love her and all, but...
Not that much, huh?
I don't know.
Whenever anyone says, I love her and all...
Right, yeah, they
bad
and
song.
All. Yeah.
Bad song.
Yeah,
bad song.
And when they try to... They give you a little sample of that, like it's the chick standing out front of Hickory Farms giving you a little bit of that summer sausage, and then they pull it away. That's tough. Once you've wet your appetite, once you've got a taste for it,
I know.
that's tough. And what is her feeling? Is she feeling guilty? Is she Mormon?
No, she's not Mormon, but she's Christian. I don't know. It's like all the people at the church are making her feel guilty that...
Oh, but they don't know what she's doing. Hold on a second. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Do you think, let me ask you this hypothetically, if Tony was rocking her world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he was just what I'm saying?
Her thing is like, oh my God, this is what this is all about and I feel so bad about it? Forget it.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to make the responsible decisions when it's not, like, it's easy to say, no, like whenever I go to a Mexican restaurant, it's easy to turn down dessert.
Yeah, because it's
like,
flan.
Yeah, what do you want? You want the flan or do you want the block of raw sugar shaped like a cactus? you know what? I'm going to watch my weight. I'll have all the, you know. But, yeah, if they asked me if I wanted some cobbler with some ice cream melted on it or something, I'd be in the kitchen. I'd be going and getting it myself. So I'm saying it's kind of easy to make the right decision the responsible one when you're not really that into it.
I mean, she says I'm the best she's ever had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you the only she's ever had?
No.
Okay.
The second?
No, the fourth.
Okay.
Fourth.
And it was... You're giving her...
Tend to be interesting, okay. Please.
You're giving her oral sex? I can only talk to so many teenagers a year.
Yeah.
You're giving oral... She's having an orgasm?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I would... Here's what I would say.
I mean, I want to stick around, but...
Here's what I would do. I would do what any good teenage guy would do, is you just go, I completely respect your decision, and then Saturday night you just try to get your hands down her top again. And if she says no, that might be all right. Okay, this line is bad, Drew.
Yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Yes, sir.
You're 33.
I am 33, yes, sir.
What's up?
I'm just hanging in there. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing
cool.
Good.
Cheers. Well, you know, I just, I was listening to the show as I do all the time, and cheers to you guys. Do a great job.
Thanks, Brian.
I disagree with you, Adam, in a respectful way, about the kid who for 12 years can't lay up the ball and playing basketball. Yes, in a way, maybe there comes a time in their mind. It depends on how strong they believe in themselves and how many obstacles they can overcome.
Well, let's just backtrack for a second. I was speaking earlier about people, bad students who were bad through junior high and high school who may have not graduated, or if they did, just sort of got by the skin of their teeth, insisting on a career in college immediately after high school when it means not going to a university because you didn't have the grades for it, but going to junior college for a prolonged period of time and then trying to do all this and that. And I was saying just learn a trade.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's what I was saying.
Oh,
I used the sports analogy, which is if you'd been going out for the basketball teams 12 years straight and couldn't hit a layup, somebody would tap you on the shoulder and tell you maybe this ain't your game.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean you can't join the workforce, do your thing, and somewhere later on in life decide to go back and make a run at it. But that doesn't happen at 18 or 19 usually.
Right. It's the before part that you were saying that I didn't hear because that's when I came in. But when I was growing up, I was the slowest kid. I was the shortest kid. Going into college, I had a growth spurt, and my coach said, I started to run, and my coach said, you have a great stride. Go out for the 400-meter dash, and I did. And then being the kid that was always beat by everybody, I wasn't fast, and I didn't let that overcome me, and I ended up qualifying for the Olympic trials in 92 and ranking number five in the nation.
And this is 400 meters.
Yes, sir.
Now, is that one lap?
That's one lap, yeah, full sprint.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What was your best time?
I ran a 45.85 to qualify.
Wow.
For the trials.
Yeah, that's a healthy time.
It was a lot of fun for what they called me on the track, the white boy. They called me the milkman.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I didn't get the college part or the school yet.
Yeah, it's kind of a different issue though, because that wasn't about overcoming through sheer grit. That is overcoming by genetic.
You had
activation.
A growth spurt. Yeah,
sure.
These guys' brains don't grow at 19.
Sure.
And
I got a break.
What was Edwin Moses's best time?
Well, Edwin Moses ran the hurdles in the 400 meters.
So, that's
he ran his second. His time was, I think, his best time would be about a 47. 48, and that's
right.
Still moving for hurdles.
Yeah. Oh, he never ran it straight. I just ran it with the hurdles.
Maybe early in his career, but everything that was, you know, when he went to the world circuit, you know,
right.
Olympics and all that stuff.
All right.
Once he went international.
Hold on a second there, Brian. We're going to say bye to Brian after this. Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I pulled out a guy who ran a 400 meters, right?
That's good.
I should get credit for that.
I'm impressed.
Thanks, buddy. We'll be right back. Hey, well, that's the show. I wanted to talk to our first, the guy we were speaking to was the sprinter. They did the 400. Drew?
Huh? What?
Yeah, the guy we left off with.
Yeah.
I think I thought of another name of a 400-meter Olympic sprinter.
Who?
Foster.
Huh.
I don't know if it's Bob Foster. I'm going to figure that out. It was unbeatable. I think it was American. I got to look into this now. It's going to drive me nuts. So, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times, buddy.
Yeah, good times.
Nice work. I want to thank, since it's Thursday. I give some thanks out. Well, decent.
Hey, I don't have my cell phone on me, so I can't call you right away, buddy.
Oh, buddy.
I'll call you in a little while.
Oh, buddy.
All right.
All right, I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones and the coffee all week. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. The new and improved Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for a great job on the phones and
coffee.
I noticed
that.
Ken stepping in for Anderson and doing a job that was so spectacular, I didn't even know Anderson was gone. And, of course, junior producer Lauren for doing a great job, and producer Ann for booking these huge guests such as Snoop Dogg and Everlast, Cypress Hill, and all these folks for next week. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.